This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are back, folks, with another edition of Behind the Uniform, New Year style, 2023. First time this season, this series is going to run nonstop in the offseason, focused on student athletes at the University of Michigan. Of course, we mix recruits in and go across the country to see them as well. But we go deep, more in depth than you typically see in these chats with student athletes. We get everything about their journey, certainly about their NIL experience, definitely with a huge sort of influx of knowledge and experience that they pass along when it comes to money management, how they're handling taxes. This is that time of season. It really feels like a lot of student athletes are going to be in for a rude awakening. But very, very fitting that for the first one of the year that we sit down with a guy that I've known since what? I think I saw him at a camp your junior year? Your junior year in high school? It was a long time ago, man. You didn't have facial hair at that time. It was a long time ago. With Trevor Keegan with us and back for his final season in the maize and blue, and happy to be the first time that you sat down to talk about it. First of all, Trev, congratulations on being back, and thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So that decision was one that you took your time with, and I'm curious about what all went into the decision to come back. What were the factors that led you to return?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of factors, but, you know, in the middle of December, you know, it was very like, I think I'm going to go, you know, I want to pursue my NFL career. You know, just take a chance and, you know, bet on myself. But, you know, after the TCU game, you know, that feeling on the field, it really just hit me that, like, I don't want to go out as a Wolverine like this. And, you know, personally for me, you know, I have, you know, personal goals and, you know, even team goals that, like, I want to achieve for myself and for the team that I haven't accomplished yet. And that was probably the main reason why I came back.
So the one more year fund, that was – and I haven't seen anything like that across the country, but that to me was one of the major kind of objectives or benefits of NIL, that guys who are maybe on the fence about going or staying, it could help them make the decision to come back, because they could come back and make some money like they would be going to NFL. Did that factor in a huge way for you?
Yeah, it did a little bit, but you know, for me personally, like, it was bigger than that. I knew, like, if I were to continue to play well, you know, I'd be able to earn NIL deals and stuff like that. I mean, it was a factor that, you know, that played in. But like I said, that feeling on, you know, the field after the TCU game, that was the biggest thing for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I am curious about your NIL experience last year. I know you did, you know, some camps. Mm-hmm. You had to cut the coloring book, right?
Yep.
The kids' book, right? I mean, how did you balance finding deals, or did you have them found for you? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, so when it first came out, I remember it was like July. I remember I was in the tattoo shop. I was like, damn, like, I'm gonna get paid, like, I'm gonna make like millions of dollars. But you know, as an old lineman, that ain't
right.
Real. But you know, my first year, you know, I got a couple deals, like a chicken wing spot, you know, a Mr. Spots, mm-hmm. little stuff like that. You know, I didn't really think much of it. And then once spring ball ended last year, everything just started ramping up. And it's kind of hard to track sometimes, you know, what you got to do, stuff like that, who to reach out to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's all worth it, you know. Obviously, you know, football is giving me the opportunity to earn money, and, you know, I'm going to take advantage of it.
So did you have people finding deals for you, or did the deals come to you? How did
yeah.
that work?
So it was about 50-50. I mean, with Valiant, with Jared and, you know, their group, they really helped, you know, and especially because, you know, as a group, the O-line, we've played so well. We've got a lot of deals,
right,
you know, just from that alone. And personally, you know, a couple companies, you know, reach out to me on Instagram and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
about 50-50.
So, look, I said in the intro that this is kind of rude awakening season, I think, for mm-hmm. a lot of student athletes, male and female, in your position, because this is tax time now.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense in talking to some student athletes is that they weren't really prepared for the tax side of things. They weren't really looking at, you know, maybe making what they earn now work for them mm-hmm. in the moment. And I'm curious, I know you have worked with Dave Hemmick from the Hemmick Group with Morgan Stanley. How has that sort of helped you kind of line things up so you aren't having the rude awakening that you see a lot of other student athletes having?
Yeah, so I remember last year about, you know, March time, I was like, my mom was like, you need to pay taxes on your NIL stuff. I'm like, I have no idea. I had no idea what that was. And then my mom and Dave met, and they talked, you know, about setting up a meeting and getting stuff going. And Dave's helped me tremendously. I mean, without, you know, his help and, you know, his team, I probably would have no idea that I'd have to pay taxes right now. So, I mean, it's helped a lot for me personally. I know it's helped a lot of guys on our team.
Yeah, man. It's do you guys do you talk much NIL? Does that come up in like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your money? Yeah. What are you doing tax-wise? That kind of thing?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of like a tight click. I'll talk to like Zinner, like Carson about it, you mm-hmm. know, just because, you know, they're my friends and we live together. But mostly, you know, people keep it personal. So mm-hmm.
you guys have done a really good job on your team, clearly, with the success you have of leaving NIL stuff kind of out of the equation. You see other places, it can kind of mess up a locker room. It can, you know, inflate expectations. Was that a concerted thing? Did you guys say, hey, man, leave the NIL stuff out of the locker room, or was that just kind of natural where you guys didn't bring it in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just kind of natural. I mean, for me personally, like, I'm an offensive lineman. Like, I'm not going to make the same amount of money as Blake Corum, you know? Uh-huh. It's the same if you're in the NFL. Like,
right.
If I was a left guard in the NFL, I'm not going to make the same as a starting running back.
Right.
So it's just kind of, you know, it makes sense, and, you know, everybody understands it. You know, if you're not playing, you know, you got to earn your role, and then you're going to earn more money after that. I mean, for me, I thought it was that if I was a freshman right now where I was in 2019, I wouldn't have made anything.
Uh-huh.
I just had to earn my spot, you know, and earn everything.
So what do you guys think, because I have talked to student athletes outside of the locker room, kind of like now, about how Michigan, being at Michigan, has helped position you for NIL deals. I know, you, like you said, offensive line, you're mm-hmm. smashing, so to speak, right? So people are paying attention to that. But specifically being affiliated with Michigan, have you – kind of sense that being a lure for deals?
I mean, definitely, you know, with all, you know, the opportunities that Michigan has itself, you know, alumni, you know, there's a lot of alumni that, you know, have these companies and, you know, that can start, you know, NIL deals and stuff like that. But, you know, I can speak on the O-line. I mean, if you're winning the Joe Moore Award, you know, being the best offensive line in America, you know, some funny companies, you know, that are like the Hogs, you know, they reach out a lot and uh-huh. do stuff. So
yeah, that makes sense, man. So let's get into the season, Trev. First of all, let's talk individually, because I remember outside looking in back in 2020, which changed everything in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But for you specifically, I remember thinking, why aren't they playing Trev more, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get in that Penn State game, and I felt like we felt you right away. I mean, it's like one of the early plays was like a big play, like right over you.
Yeah.
So did you kind of feel like in that moment, see, this is what I can do? Did you kind of feel like that was kind of like your coming out party?
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, my freshman sophomore year, you know, I was just itching to get on the field. You know, it's definitely mentally challenging because you're thinking, you know, you're going to practice every day, giving all you got, but you're not playing. So, mm-hmm. you know, that could be definitely a mental toll. But I was talking to Quiddy Pay, you know, my sophomore. He's like, dude, just trust the process and everything's going to take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I got in the game and it literally took care of itself. And ever since then, my demeanor and like my confidence went up and I just started playing the game, you know, the way I know how to play it.
You feel like in a day and age of transfer portal that fewer guys will trust the process? Do you kind of see that going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see it and I understand it. You know, when I was a freshman and sophomore, I was thinking, you know, I'm never going to play here. I'm never going to be able to play here. And it sucks because it takes a toll on you. Mm-hmm. It takes a toll on everything you do, like, during the day, because you're just always thinking about it. Because, like, you come in here wanting to play, you know, you want to be the guy, you want to come in, all that stuff. And then when it's not working out for you, it really takes a toll on you.
Mm-hmm. But you stay ready, right? Don't mm-hmm. get ready, stay ready, as they say. Then you come back, you know, 21, you guys have a fantastic season. 22, obviously you're going well, but then you get banged up a bit. Mm-hmm. And so kind of take me into that moment, because this kind of digs into the dynamic in you guys' room. I mean, the locker room dynamic is strong, but the offensive line dynamic, the room dynamic there seems especially strong. Yeah. So take me into what you went through individually over the course of the year and how you saw other guys step up.
Yeah, I mean, when I had my injury, it happened kind of during fall camp. It just kind of lingered on through the season. Mm-hmm. A couple like neck issues and then like stingers and stuff like that. That was hard to, you know, deal with. But, you know, it's always a next man up mentality. And, you know, during fall camp, during spring ball, you know, it was my job as a leader in the offensive line room to get Gio ready, you know, to see if he does bad footwork, to, you know, give him, you know, just more of like a mentorship kind of in practice. Like, hey, do this, you know, fix that. And, you know, by that time during the season, you know, it was like he was a starter. And he came in, played great, you know, and that's the thing about the O-line room is everybody trusts each other. It's a brotherhood. So anybody who gets punched in, you know, we're going to bring them along. And that's just the way it is.
So you said you had an injury or injuries that kind of lingered over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. That's part of football. That's part of football, right? Being able to still play at a high level, mm-hmm. even when you were banged up. Was that something that sort of you had coming into the season, or was that something that you developed as the year went along?
Yeah, it definitely happened at the end of spring ball, just a little something. Mm-hmm. And then it got out of the season during camp, and it was like, dang, like this is actually kind of a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly mentally challenging because, you know, when you're injured and you got classes, you got practice, and you want to be out there for meetings and practice and stuff like that, you're in the building at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. every morning getting treatment for 1 or 2 hours. So it definitely takes a toll on your body and, you know, your mentals for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but you still had a really good season. Was there a game, a play, a moment that you can look back on? Maybe there are many of them, but I'm mm-hmm. looking for ones that stick out where you're like, man, I'm playing well, or us as a line, we're killing them. I have some ideas, but I'm curious from your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak for myself here. You know, I didn't really play much the first 4 games, but, I remember when we were at Iowa and we're standing there, you know, during the national anthem. I'm like, all right, yeah, like I'm not really going to feel much of this game. And we just dominated them, and then it just continued on from there. I think that was the coming out party. Because I remember the first 4 games, you know, we're like, we're not winning the Joe Moore Award again. We haven't been playing too well. But, I mean, for all teams, you know, you got to find a rhythm. And we found our rhythm, you know, starting in Iowa City.
Yeah, man, so, you know, it's interesting. You know, Jerome Moore is like, he's like Bill Bixby in The Incredible Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or David Banner in The Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, really soft-spoken guy in a press conference, but it's like something comes out of him mm-hmm. game day on the football field. And it's almost like you guys kind of take your cues. What about your relationship with Coach Moore? And then what he's meant to that room? Because since he took over as the line coach, you know, I know part of it is just maturation, but it just feels like you guys went to a totally different level almost overnight.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this a lot. When the day he came in, we had a meeting with him, and he said the O-line's the leaders of the team, and, you know, we're in 2020, we're kind of the laughing stock of, you know, college football. And he was like, that shit needs to end. Like, we're not putting up with this anymore. And that spring ball, you know, that spring ball changed Michigan football, I believe, because of how hard we worked and, you know, everybody coming together for a common goal. And he just flips everybody's personality in the room, to just try to be great, because he wants to be great too. And when you got a coach, you know, who's a leader and, you know, does everything in his power for himself to be successful, it's going to trickle down onto his players.
So you mentioned the first 4 games, Trev, where obviously you're banged up, not playing. The other thing that factors in is you got 2 captains of your team that basically aren't there anymore, and Cade and Eric. And yet, you didn't, or on the outside, we didn't notice it. It was like the leadership quotient, if you don't have it, can wreck a team. And missing them didn't wreck your team. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, Cade and Eric, you know, they're a very crucial part of our team for sure, you know, on the field and off the field. You know, they really rallied guys together. But I was actually been thinking about this. I think it's just because of the guys that, you know, our coaches recruit. They recruit leaders. They bring in leaders. And when you have a bunch of leaders on a team, you know, there's going to be some that stick out, like Cade and Eric did. But, you know, when you got a group of guys in the locker room that care for each other, I mean, it just kind of takes care of itself.
Who did you see have their leadership kind of emerge and become more present, more noticeable over the course of the year?
You know, over the course of his career, I think Mozzie really stood out to me. He was a guy who really had to change his body and, you know, change his, you know, his work ethic, and everybody could see the way his body transformed. And, you know, he goes on the field and he just plays like a man with his hair on fire. And everybody respects that and respects him. You know, he's an animal in the weight room, so everybody, you know, kind of grasps to him. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people, like I said, you know, the O-line, I think we're all just natural leaders. Mm-hmm. And we're all good in the locker room. We all care for each other. And I think a lot of people, like, grasp us because, you know, we're the funny guys on the team.
Well, hey, man, you know what was noticeable to me is when you guys were doing that Pure Michigan tour, talking to a lot of guys, and they were talking about Olu mm-hmm. as a leader. I know he had played a lot of football. He was a Remington finalist already. But he was new to the squad. Mm-hmm. And, like, instantly, guys were looking at him as a leader. So what about that? What about his role kind of stepping up as a leader?
Yeah, man. I mean, he just, his affection to other people, his charisma and his care for others around him. You know, he was a guy who's never been given anything and he's had to earn everything. He was a walk-on, went to Air Force for a year, walked on at Virginia, earned his role, and then, you know, decided to transfer, you know, make a big decision for himself. And just his personality, the way he is and the way he treats people, I mean, everybody just loved him.
Mm-hmm. So, JJ, I mean, you had a quarterback who quarterbacked you to a Big Ten championship and a playoff appearance already. Mm-hmm. And there's a competition, and not necessarily in spring ball because Jay was hurt, but in fall camp. And I'm curious how you guys, as teammates, handle that, because you have a guy who you follow. Mm-hmm. And now it's uncertain who the guy is going to be. So how did you guys process that as players, as teammates of theirs, as they went through that?
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, as a player, you don't have any, you know, input on a decision or anything. You just kind of, you know, just watch it, you know, unravel by itself. But I mean, Cade's like one of my best friends. We've came in together. We've always been best friends and tight. And, you know, to see that battle and see them, you know, work, and, you know, compete with each other. You know, JJ got named the starter. You know, it was just important for me and, you know, the guys, you know, to just put an arm around Cade, you know, be there for him. But obviously, you know, we're going to support the decision any way it is, you know.
So JJ, though, coming in, I know he had played as a freshman, but when you're the guy, it's different. So now he's the guy. And there's a trust factor that you have to earn.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I know he, again, he proved that he could play at this level. But now you got to prove that you're the guy. So how did you see him handle that? And then there's a point where, you know, he is, even as a sophomore guy, has to kind of take command. When did you start seeing him do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of who he is and how he grew up. I mean, he's always been, you know, the best. He's always, you know, been in that role where he has to be a leader. So I feel like he's just always been a natural leader. And, you know, when his time came, he just kind of took it by the hands and just ran with it. And once he got named the starter, he just so cool, calm, and collected. And, like, nothing, you know, faces him. Like, he doesn't face adversity. He just takes it. Mm-hmm.
So, adversity. Let's talk about the Illinois game. Mm-hmm. That one stands out to me as maybe the most adversity in the regular season. I mean, we'll get to Ohio State. But, man, they got a lead. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's like the first touchdowns that a team has scored on that defense in the second half in months, mm-hmm. right? And so now you got to go to work as the offense. You got to get some things done late in the game. Take me into those moments on the sideline, those moments on the field where your whole season is hanging in the balance of what you do right now. Mm-hmm. Take me into how you guys were able to face and meet that moment.
Yeah, I mean, going into the game, we knew that they were the most talented defense in the Big Ten. Like, we knew that, and, you know, we just really...
So let's pause. You guys knew going into that game, looking across the Big Ten, you hadn't even faced Ohio State yet. Mm-hmm. You guys said, this is the best defense in this league that we're going to see.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, on that last drive, you know, we really just, I mean, with Blake getting injured, Donald was out that game. You know, the guys really just rallied around each other, you know, and really just looked each other in the eye and said, you know, we got to do this. And it was senior night, too, so, you know, they had to go out for the seniors, too. So I think, you know, JJ really just showed his poise and, you know, during that drive, and he made big plays that he had to and really stepped up, and, you know, so did other guys. And, you know, Moody with the kick,
right?
Obviously, Money Moody. But, you know, that just goes down, you know, that's everything we do in the offseason, how we train. You know, nothing really phases us.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So what you do in off season, what you do every day in that building, these are, you tell me if it's different. It is the last couple of years facing Ohio State. Is it noticeably different? The approach to that game, the emphasis on that game, or are you guys just more dialed in as players, more developed as players, more ready to face it? What would you say?
So me as a freshman, as a bystander, it was always, you know, we can do it. Like, we can do it this year. We can beat them. You know, we got the guys. We can do it. And then once 2020 came around, you know, got into 2021, we're like, no, we're going to do it. Mm. It's not we can, it's we are. So I think that demeanor, you know, that mentality of it, that we are. I mean, in 2021, we knew we were going to win that game going on the field. Like, we just knew it. We could feel it. Like, there's just something in the air, and we just knew it. And that just gave us the confidence that, you know, they aren't head and shoulders above us. You know, we're right there with them, and that just carried in the offseason and, you know, into this season.
So 2022, you go into it. You guys are rolling, but Blake's out, mm-hmm. right? High-powered attack, and you're in the horseshoe. And the weather's good, right? They said the weather was bad last year. Mm-hmm. Everyone had the flu, all these things. So they're healthy. It's a bright and sunny day. They got you right where they want you, they say, right? So how are you guys? Give me your mindset going into the game. And when in that game, in retrospect, did you know we got these dudes?
So I knew the whole week, obviously, you know, pregame jitters the whole week. I was like, ooh, like. And then Friday night in the team hotel, Coach Harbaugh decided to bring up all of our position coaches. And their speeches that fired up our team. Man, I can remember, I saw the chills. I looked at Carson and Hayes and Olu. I was like, we're going to win this fucking game. Like, it's on. And, like, since then, I knew going to the game, like, we were going to win.
So you said their speeches. Was there one more rousing than the other? Like, who stood out to you, or did they all just stand up?
Coach Moore's for sure. Yeah, Coach Moore's for sure.
So can you give us as much of it as you can without you know, giving us a rated R on our YouTube.
I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if that's possible.
What was the tone of what he, give me the theme of what he had to say?
It was about the Joker. And for me personally, I love the Joker, so it fired me up.
Okay. I'm not putting it together.
I'll give a little bit. No, I can't.
All right, would it give Ohio State Bulletin Board material if you said it? Is that it?
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. I don't want to affect the game with an interview, right? So here's the thing though. You get in the game and they are having some success early. I mean, they're running the football, which that's not there. They want to throw it all over the yard, but they're having some success and it's taking a minute for you guys to get going. Mm-hmm. Especially without Blake and Donovan early was kind of favoring the hand. But then you guys started to get it going. And I always wonder when you blow a team out like that, there has to be a moment where you know, man, we got these guys now. And when was that moment in that game for you?
Man, I think it was coming out at halftime. No, it was after the pass interference on Ronnie, and then JJ ran it in on the pin and pull. And then from that, I was like, yeah, we're winning. There's no doubt about it. And that was probably the best feeling I've ever had in my life. Just because I remember when Donald broke it loose, you could hear a needle dropping there. And it was awesome. And all you just heard was our whole team just chirping the whole state. It was awesome.
So, I mean, there also are times where you can see it on the faces of you talk about the stadium being quiet. There are times where you can see it on the faces of the opponents. Mm-hmm. And that had to be satisfying too. Like, did you start to notice that the doubt started creeping in over there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a rivalry game and there's heated tension, you know, between both teams. You know, when we were running out of the field taking it, you know, pregame, some of their players, you know, were jawing at us, you know, kind of, you know, talking some smack. And then run off at halftime, they were talking it too. But we knew that they couldn't handle us for four quarters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we knew we were a second half team. And I think we were down at halftime, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we got in the locker room, we're like, everybody's like, yeah, like, we're going to win. Like,
so did you guys, so this is a big question that people, you change much? You change anything from first half to the second half?
No.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, they didn't change. There were no adjustments. You just came out and picked up where you left off.
I mean, it's crazy because, like, you know, in a game like that, you know, you're down, I think we were down 3 or 7, and everybody's like, yeah, like, let's go do it. Like, we're just sitting there like, all right, let's go back out there. Let's go do it, you know? Everybody's all fired up and ready to go.
So you mentioned that it's a rivalry. There's trash talk. I'm always interested to get people's players' perspective. Is there a difference when you get on the field and there's the back and forth with Ohio State? Is it different from the back and forth when you get on the field with Michigan State?
Oof. I mean, obviously, you know, Ohio State's, you know, a bit, you know, more important of a game for us just because, you know, history and, you know, for that itself. But, you know, with the, you know, past experience, you know, the game up there in East Lansing in this past game this year, I think, you know, next year is going to be a pretty interesting one. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of tension in that game for sure. So we'll see.
Is it the case, that here's how it's been described by other players. You tell me if you can get with this or maybe you disagree. That one is heated, one is dirty. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. One word, that says it all, right? All right, so
yep.
I am, now we get to the Big Ten Championship, you do what you do, playoff game, man. I mean, I felt like it was a game watching it where you didn't make that many mistakes the whole season.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. Now, you take me into your perspective because that's my take. Right? No disrespect to TCU. A really, really good team. Mm-hmm. But I felt like you guys lost that game more because of you than them. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was the worst game we played, you know, in the last 2 years, in my opinion. You know, there was just everything, you know, in the first quarter that it just wasn't going for us. You know, we made mistakes on the goal line. You know, pick six, two pick sixes, you know, just little mistakes, you know, that we could have cleaned up. But, you know, everybody made this mantra that, you know, we're just going to go in there and steamroll them, you know, because they run a 3-3-5. But, you know, they're the number 3 team in the country. You know, they're there for a reason. You know, maybe we overlooked them, but, you know, they played really well. They played their best game. You know, we didn't play our best, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different game in the second half. I mean, you guys, now you're doing what we see you guys do all year in the second half. First half, though, I mean, was it 3-3-5 tricky? Was it just not sharp? I mean, what would you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just things, you know, you have a month off between the game, you know, you got more time, you know, watch film, and, you know, they got more time to scout, you know, our offense, you know, that we're so run heavy with. And I think they kind of found out some, you know, stuff, how to, you know, take away some of our runs, and, you know, they had good run fits. And, you know, not just saying that, but, you know, there was a lot of things that we did that, you know, we screwed up on our own. It kind of bit ourselves in the butt, so.
Yeah, so obviously that's in the river. You said it was a big part of the reason you came back was because of the taste in your mouth that you're right there, should have been playing in a national championship game, got to come back to have that opportunity again. But then what comes up, Coach Harbaugh, interviewing with the Broncos, it's kind of like last year. And I wonder, you as a veteran, were you just used to, this is what I, in talking to some guys, they said, you know, I've been through this before. It's just, you come to expect it.
Yeah.
Where some of the new guys, whether they be players or coaches, they're like, what the, you know, what's going on? So how about you? Did you kind of fit in one of those categories?
I mean, it's kind of happened, you know, every single year that I've been there. And, you know, I totally, you know, respect, you know, Coach Harbaugh, you know, his decision, you know, if he wants to, you know, pursue the NFL and stuff like that. You know, it's out of our control. We can't let that affect us. You know, if he were to leave, you know, we're still going to have the 140 people in that locker room. And, you know, you get the dues, oh, you know, if he leaves, I'm going to transfer, you know, all that stuff. It's the same thing every year. And you just got to tell the guys, like, dude, just lock in and go to the lift. You know, like, stop making such a big deal. Like, let's just go lift.
Right. And so that was one of my questions to you, because Blake made that, you guys made decisions to come back before he made his announcement that he was done looking at the NFL. And you kind of answered my question already, but did you guys talk to one another before you made your decisions, or did you kind of make them independently, saying, hey, whatever happens with Coach happens, but this crew still has enough to get it done?
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember after the Big Ten championship game, I was like, Blake, like, you going? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, he's like, you going? I'm like, I don't know. And then, you know, Blake came out, and then I came out, and then Zinner, and then CJ, and then Mike B. So I think Coach Harbaugh was like, yeah, I want to coach that. I want to coach that team.
Right. Kind of influenced him to say, we could put this off. Right. I got you. So obviously you guys are in full prep mode now for spring ball and next season. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about how much Coach Herb has meant to your career and development so far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been such a crucial part, you know, of my success so far. He's really, you know, he really sharpens people's minds and really changed everybody's mentality and demeanor. And, you know, he's always told me, like, if you want to be great, you got to be great upstairs. And it's true. I mean, in the game of football, there's so many ups and downs and so many obstacles you have to overcome, that if you're not mentally sharp, you know, it could crumble you. Mm-hmm. So for him, he's always pushed me above my limits that, you know, I never thought I could go to. And I feel like that's really changed me and, you know, my career so far.
You know, you could talk about every one of the young linemen. We got an idea of what, you know, what your returning guys have, but some of the guys we don't see, or maybe some of the guys, young guys we saw in limited roles last year, as you watch them in workouts, you watch them come off of last year, who do you feel like is poised to really take a step?
There's so many people. It's honestly kind of a crime that there's like probably 14 or 15 people that could start in the country in our O-line room. And, you know, that's just not me bragging, but I mean, we'll have, you know, our three O-line go out there and, you know, they'll dominate. And, you know, you watch them and you just know that they're right there. And, you know, especially Gio. I mean, Gio, he could start, I think, pretty much anywhere in the country. You got guys like Cripp, you got Raheem, you got Jeff Percy. You know, they're all, you know, starter calibers, and, you know, we treat them like starters. You know, it's not ones and twos, it's one A and one B and one C. You know, everybody's treated like a starter.
Got you. All right, so let's talk about some of the newcomers. I know you guys sort of work out in groups, so maybe you haven't seen them all. But just your early impressions of the transfer guys that you have Right. So which guys have you seen of the guys who, mm-hmm. whether they be early enrollees or yeah. transfers, who are some of the new guys you've seen so far?
Yeah, I've met pretty much all of them. I've been really, you know, talking to Drake Nugent, Ladarius and Miles, you know, just because they're in my position group. But, you know, I've talked to AJ, and that's pretty much it. And Ernest, I've talked to him. He's my locker mate. And honestly, like, everybody's, I've seen, like, all over Twitter and stuff like that. Like, oh, this could, you know, ruin the culture of the team, stuff like that. But, you know, Ladarius was a captain. Drake was a captain. Miles is just a Hinton. They're the sweetest family of all time. You know, they're bringing guys in, you know, that can even help our culture. So I feel like, you know, it's a good thing. And, you know, they're really good guys and a good group.
Do you have to counsel the youngsters on that part? Because it doesn't affect you as much as it affects them when new guys come in. So, like you said, Quiddy Pay told you, hey, man, trust the process. Mm-hmm. When transfers come in, is that something you have to make a concerted effort to do, or is that coming naturally in a locker room where guys aren't worried?
I mean, I could see, you know, frustration if you're, you know, a freshman or sophomore, you know, pushing for playing time. And, you know, I could definitely see that, you know, in their eyes. You know, you got to keep their head up. You know, it's a process. Everybody knows it's a process. But everybody understands, you know, like, we're here to, like, win a national championship. You know, like, this is a year that, you know, we're going to do it. So everybody kind of has that demeanor right now.
All right. So let's wrap this up talking about some guys. So you work out with – Drake works out with you, right? Yep. So tell me about what you've noticed about Drake so far.
Man, he's a – honestly, I see a lot of resemblance between him and Olu. Kind of, you know, same body type, you know, short, stocky, strong as hell. And just, like – really nice guys, you know, that have a goofy side to them. So, you know, Drake's been really cool. Ladarius has been, you know, one of the nicest dudes I think I've ever met, to be honest with you. Miles is, you know, like I said earlier, he's just always got a smile on his face too. So they're all good dudes.
What about AJ? I mean, tight ends are kind of like, I mean, they can obviously get out and do all the pass catching stuff, but you got to be at a block if you're a tight end in Michigan. So what about AJ?
Yeah, I've talked to him a little bit. You know, he's a cool dude, chill guy. You know, I talked to him, I was like, so what? Was, you know, your decision. He's like, I just want to win. I want to come here and win. And I think that's everybody's mindset, you know, that wanted to transfer here.
Do you work out with Josiah at all?
No, I do not.
Okay.
He's in a different group.
Okay, different group. So what about any of the freshmen? Any of the freshmen that you've seen work out so far kind of stand, that jump off the field to you?
Fred Moore, super fast. We were running the other day, and he was jogging. I think his jog was – probably 3 miles per hour faster than my sprint. So, you know, he's quick, and, you know, I think he's got a bright future for sure.
So how fast is 3 miles? So what is that? Is that?
I think he was jogging at, like, 19 miles per hour, if I'm not mistaken. Like, high 18 fives.
And he was jogging?
Yeah, he was, like, 20 feet in front of me. Yeah.
All right, so last one. Senior year, kind of map it out for me. How it looks for you individually, how it looks for the team.
Yeah.
Play that movie for me right now.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the team, we're confident. We're super confident, the guys that we got. You know, we lost a lot of key pieces, but, you know, we got a lot of dudes who have played in their careers and a lot of dudes, you know, who played, you know, really important roles in our team last year. And I think we got a lot of dudes in the locker room, you know, that are super confident. And, you know, in the team itself and, you know, in the path and direction that we're on. And, you know, we really want to win a national championship. And then for me personally, I mean, I thought I had a pretty good year this year, but, you know, I want to be a first or second round draft pick. You know, that's my goal and continue, you know, the legacy of 77.
Yeah, and, right. I didn't even talk about that. That is a legacy. But you also, I'd also be remiss if I didn't ask you about, and every game we cover, any camp you came to, I always saw your whole family. I mean, your whole family was there. So your system, your circle is huge for you. And so how about them and everything they've meant to you in your journey?
Man, they've meant everything to me. You know, ever since I was a kid, you know, playing T-ball, you know, football, baseball, basketball, you know, they're at every game. My dad has been, you know, such a huge role in my life, such a role model, you know, just the way he carries himself, you know, such a family man. My mom, she's always been, you know, the one who I always, you know, wanted to be with. You know, I'm a mama's boy. My sister, she's supported me, you know, through this whole journey and everything. You know, they come to every game, and they're super important to me, and I hope they know that.
Well, they do now. If they did before, right? Folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Behind the Uniform. Again, if you like these episodes, if you like the podcast, if you're listening to it on the podcast, be sure to like and subscribe and tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcasts. And, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and that way you'll get a notification every time we put up another episode. And, of course, if you want to keep track of everything we do, football, basketball, and recruiting, themichiganinsider.com is where it all goes down. Be sure to check it out. Until the next time, thanks for watching another edition of Behind the Uniform.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.